Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the epistle of Paul to the churches of Galatia, as I turn there with you as well. And, you know, the gospel or the epistle of Paul to the churches of Galatia, tremendous six chapters. You know, last week we talked about the truth of the gospel, and we watched Paul did not practice a doctrine of tolerance. Matter of fact, his great defense of those who would do anything to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. We learned that there's only one gospel, amen? There's only one Savior, and there's only one way to be saved. With all of that, remember that the theme of the freedom in Christ through the book of Galatians, but the theme could be, what really makes a person a Christian? I mean, is it faith alone, or is it faith plus something else, works or whatever, baptism, or do we have to do certain things to be saved? Is just believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth, truly meaning that, asking Jesus to be our Lord, is that simply enough to be saved? Well, the gospel here in the book of Galatians, of course, it answers that question for us. Remember that the Judaizers, not only did they pervert the gospel, we learned that last Sunday, the truth of the gospel, but they denied that grace, the grace of God, that unconditional, unearned favor of God, they said it wasn't enough, that Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension wasn't enough. It had to be Jesus plus something else in order to be saved. You know, in other words, legalism instead of grace. And we know when we get toward the end of Galatians, we're going to find out what Paul is telling us. In Galatians, for example, 6:15, Paul writes about circumcision. He goes, listen, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It doesn't mean anything. But he says, but a new creation. Remember in Acts chapter 15, which is one of the most glorious chapters in the whole Bible, when they met there in Jerusalem to decide on the gospel of grace. And it says in Acts 15:1 that certain men came in, and those certain men were the Judaizers, and into the council before Peter and James and all the rest of them, and they came in bringing a doctrine straight from hell, if you will, the doctrine of Satan, and they said, in order for a person to be saved, he must be circumcised. And you know, praise the Lord, that the council, of course, totally rejected that. And so as we look at these false teachers tonight or this morning, and maybe it is tonight for me, and it doesn't matter. I'm here. Is that okay? Yes. So we're going to look at the source of the gospel in these few verses, but also we're going to talk about something else. What makes Christianity, what makes the gospel different than all the other religions in the entire world? We're going to answer that question. So let's look in Galatians 1:11, the source of the gospel. And Paul writes, and he says this, listen, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel, the good news, the death, the resurrection of our Lord, the ascension, the gospel was preached by me is not according to what? A man. Now, that is one reason. What makes Christianity different, the gospel different, than any other religion in the world? And Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. Amen? So if I say religion, I'm not saying Christianity is a religion. However, it's different than any other religion in the world. And you know why? It's because the gospel did not come by man. It did not. Man, there's not a trace. It's not of human wisdom, human knowledge. It's not man's gospel, it's God's gospel. Amen? And I say, oh Lord, how wonderful to know that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not invented by humans. It's not a human message at all, because a human gospel can't do anything for you. It can't save you, can't set you free from death, sin, or the devil, or hell, or any of the rest of it. No. But Christianity makes everything different, loved one. You see, the gospel of grace could never come from man. And you know why? The reason? Because it would be full of self. It would be full of works. Flesh loves works. Do you understand? Look what I did. I'm better. You know what I'm saying? Or legalism. I kept all the rules. I didn't break a one. No, a gospel according to man would be welcomed by man. Do you understand that? But not the gospel of grace. not the one that came down from heaven. I promise you, listen, the wisdom of man, I promise you, had they written the gospel, they would have never included Acts 4:12, where Paul tells us, Luke tells us that, listen, there is not a name under heaven, given under heaven, by which men must be saved. There's no salvation in any of the other. See, man would say like today, oh, that's too narrow. There are many ways to God. No, there's not. Now look at verse 12. For I neither received it, Paul says, meaning it, meaning the gospel, of course. I didn't receive it from man. And he says, and nor was I taught it. In other words, no man taught me. I didn't run down to the apostles and they, you know, taught me or go to school or anything like that. But it came through the unveiling, that's the revelation, the apocalypse, the unveiling, if you will, of Jesus Christ. Now listen, it's very important to remember something now. Paul is not saying that the gospel that I preach is different from the gospel that the other apostles were preaching. It's not. It's the exact same. He's just saying, I received it different than anyone else. I received the good news, the gospel, the word of God, independently from everyone else. And he says here, how did I receive it? The only way it came to me was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's saying that Jesus, the resurrected, ascended Savior, appeared to him, we know in a minute, we'll get into, you know, the Damascus Road experience, and taught him. No one else but Jesus Christ taught Paul. Man, I'll tell you, can you imagine what kind of experience that must have been? Man, listen, so what makes Christianity, what makes the gospel different than all the other religions in the world? Well, first of all, again, our gospel came from heaven. But human gospel came from the father of all lies, the wicked one, amen? The devil, yeah, there's only one gospel. Now listen, every other gospel, religion, whatever you want to say, on this earth is from man. It is not from God, not at all. There is only one message. We do not trust in a message, a gospel that was invented or manufactured by man, amen? That's right. Now, let's look at verse 13. This is Paul's pre-conversion experience. He's going to give us a lot of history in these chapters now, especially where we're at this morning. He says, for you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism. In other words, before he was saved, before he became a believer. And look what he did, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, to the extreme, and tried to destroy it. So persecution of believers in the church wasn't enough for Paul. Paul wanted to waste the church, waste the Christians, and so forth. So he says, you already know about my past. You know what I've done. I'm an open book. Everyone knows what I did. I tried to destroy the church, Jesus, and everybody else. Remember in Acts chapter 3, or Acts 8:3, it says, for Saul, that was his former name, it says he made havoc of the church. If you looked up that one Greek verb, it made havoc means to, it's a picture of a wild animal chasing down its prey and literally ripping it to pieces and devouring it. So when Paul says, I made havoc of the church, look what he did, man. He says, entering every house, dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. So Paul's only relationship before he came to Christ with the church was that of destruction. He wanted it wiped out. Listen to Paul in his own words in Acts 26:11. He says, I punished them, meaning believers, often in every synagogue, and I forced them to blaspheme. In other words, to deny Jesus Christ as their Lord. And he says, being exceedingly enraged against them, Paul says, I even persecuted the believers to foreign cities. Listen, Paul, was he a wild man? He was definitely a wild man. Now look at verse 14. And he's giving us a history about himself. He says, and I advanced. That word literally means a pioneer woodcutter. I blazed new trails. I outstripped everyone else in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation. Now watch this. Being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. More exceedingly zealous. You know what that means? Paul was a fanatic. But now listen carefully. Paul did not want anything to do with Christians or Jesus, but Paul loved God. He's old covenant man. Does that make sense? He loved the Lord. He was jealous for God. He loved the Word of God. He was of the strictest sect. He was a Pharisee, loved one. Man, listen, he was a fanatic, though, for legalism. In other words, he loved rules. He probably, as I'm sure he did, you know, when he tithed the mint. He would count everything out. And if he touched a Gentile or something, man, he would go wash his hands and, you know, probably pray for 5 hours. You know what I'm saying? You know, think about this for a moment. How many books are in the Law of Moses? 5. Man, you know the first service, you guys are always sharp. It's that second service you better pray for. No, 5 books of Moses. Did you know you can probably take the 5 books of Moses and put all of that into about around 350 pages today, okay? But you know what they did, talking about Paul being a fanatic, Pharisees, legalism and rules. They compiled what's called the Talmud, the collection of oral and traditions and the law and what it meant and so forth. And it comprised a volume, loved one. Listen to me. You ready for this? It replaced just the 5 books of Moses, basically, 523 volumes. Can you believe that? Now, that is a lot of rules. You should just read about the Sabbath rules, keeping the Sabbath. Oh, my gosh, that'll wear you out. Matter of fact, just me thinking about it wears me out, okay? No. So what makes Christianity different than all other religions on earth? It takes a person named Saul and transfers him into a Paul. Amen? It takes a person who wants to kill every Christian who is ready to die as a Christian. That's amazing. Where did all that occur? It occurred on the Damascus Road. Let me just read a few verses about that. It says in Acts 1:9, it says, "And then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord," listen to what he did. He hated people, the Christians, so much. He went to the high priest. He said, "Ask them for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any were who were of the way was our first name for believers, by the way, he says, any of them that are for the way, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, in other words. He journeyed. He came to Damascus. He had his letters, man. He had his heart ready to kill people. And it says, here he comes. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Acts chapter 26 says it was brighter than the sun. I mean, it was the Shekinah glory of God. Now listen, he says, it shined all from heaven, all around me. And then he says, oh, I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know that story as well as I do. But loved one, don't ever pass over that great doctrinal truth. Jesus said, he didn't say, Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you creating havoc in the church? He didn't say, why are you, Saul, why are you putting little children and men and women into prison and making them recant me? He didn't say that. Jesus said something we should never forget. He said, Paul, or Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, how in the world could Saul be persecuting Jesus Christ, the resurrected, ascended Lord who just appeared to him? Well, here's the reason. Is it says in Ephesians 5:30 that we are part of his body, his flesh. Amen? And whenever Christians are being persecuted, inflicted pain upon, or if we inflict pain upon one another, God forbid, it inflicts pain upon the one who died for us, because we are the body of Christ. Amen? Oh, let us never be that way at all. And he goes and Paul asks this, the most important question that anyone can ask in life, because it determines one's eternal destiny. He says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said to him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it, Saul? In other words, he's hurting him own self. And so Saul, trembling and astonished, here it comes. He said, Lord. That moment, Paul was a new creation in Christ. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now listen, Paul writes about that experience actually in verse 15 of Galatians 1. Look at verse 15. It says, but when it pleased God, I mean at the right time in Paul's life or Saul's life, it says, when it pleased God who set me apart or separated me from my mother's womb, and look what he did, he called me through my ability. What version is that? That must be man's gospel, amen? No, he called me through his what? Grace. The divine, unmerited, unearned, unconditional favor of the living God. He called me, who was a chief of all sinners, Paul writes later on. Oh, listen, the conversion of Paul was not, it didn't happen because of man. It didn't happen because of Peter. It didn't happen because of James or John. Jesus Christ himself was the one who led Paul to himself. Amen? What a glorious moment. Man, that must have been. Isn't it amazing that not any man, not any person played any part in Paul's transformation, his calling, his apostleship, nor the revelation that Jesus gave him about the good news of the gospel? No one except Christ did all that. But listen carefully. When was Paul, it says, set apart for the gospel? When was Paul called? Was it on the Damascus Road? No, couldn't have been. It wasn't on the Damascus Road. That's when he heard his calling. That's when he received his calling. But it wasn't on the Damascus Road. It says when it pleased God. When did it please God? Before he was ever born. Think about that for a moment. Before Paul had, wasn't even aware of his own existence. Man, listen, the Bible tells us, loved one, in Ephesians 1:4, just as he, meaning God, chose us in him, meaning Jesus, when? Before the foundation of the earth. Before the earth ever even existed, not a star, sun, moon, nothing. Before the first sunrise, sunset, it says he chose us. He chose you. Thank God he chose us. And it says, before the foundation of the world, and the reason that we should be holy, there's that same word, set apart for him, and without blame before him in love. No religion on earth, no man-made religion on earth can make this claim. Only God who cannot lie. Amen? I think, oh God, thank you. Listen, we were set apart in eternity. I don't know how all that works. I don't care how that works. Is that okay? It doesn't matter to me. I just believe what he said. I thank you, Lord. I thought when I was growing up, I was an accident. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anyone that came from Keller would be, you know, if you would help me, because at least the radio would think, he's so funny. These guys are laughing, you know? No. Listen, no. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I'm not an accident. Thank you that I didn't know anything about it, but thank you that all of us, we were rooted in eternity. We didn't even know it. And I say, Lord, you're so good. Listen, what makes the gospel, what makes Christianity different than all religions in the world at any time? Well, because you know what God does in his word? He gives us answers that the other ones never could. Because they don't know, but God does. Just the simple, let's just take three simple, fundamental questions that every person in every generation, they ask. The first one is where in the world did I come from? You know, I look at people, they may have evolved, okay? No. They act like animals. No, I know where I came from. The Bible tells me I came from Adam and Eve. Amen? See, that clears it up. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do that. What's that thing called where you do your DNA? Ancestry.com? I don't have to go, where are you from? What's your DNA? I know where I came from. Adam. Now I'm no longer in Adam. Check my DNA now. You understand? I'm new creation. Yeah. No, I look at that and say, oh, Lord, where did I come from? I know. Why am I here? Why was I born? Well, Paul, we know why was he born. God called him to be an apostle. He didn't know anything about that. Paul didn't know he was going to write 14 books of the New Testament. Paul didn't know that he was going to be the greatest missionary that ever lived. Paul didn't know that one day he would say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He had no idea. He was sold out into Judaism, loved one. No, he didn't know those things. The third question is this: what is my destiny after I leave this planet? Well, we know the answer. We're going to a place prepared for us called heaven. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we all know, all of us, that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those that don't love God, it doesn't work very well for you. And to those who are the called, that's us, the called according to his purpose, meaning God has a plan for us. See, the word of God answers all those things. Remember Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, oh God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Here it comes, not according to our works, not because we earned it, but according to his own purpose and grace. There's that word again, grace, the gospel of grace. It says, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. We were born from above, but listen, before time began. Now, you and I, all of us, we were called all the way back in eternity past. Now, I don't know how to explain that, but my calling and being in Christ, I didn't receive that call until when that day on the beach, when that hippie walked up and I received Christ, Jesus as Lord. But God called me, called you long before that, amen? He already knew that I wasn't a loser, that you weren't a loser. He knew that that day that I was looking at that sunset on the Jacksonville Beach in Florida, waiting for the sun to come up, loved one, he knew right then, in just a few minutes, I was going to be no longer Bad Billy. Do you understand? I was getting ready to be changed. Old things were about to pass away. All things were about to become new. I didn't have a clue, but God did. And all the junk that I did that was wrong, it's gone. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now I'm born again. See, man, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you mean to tell me that we belong to you before time even began? That's right. And we're going to belong to God after time ceases. Amen? We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. Now, it says, when it pleased God about Paul, look at verse 16. Look at the purpose of God. Paul says, to reveal his son, that's Jesus Christ, in me, and may I say in us as well. And the reason? God did it for the sake of others. It says, that I might preach him, meaning Jesus our Lord, among the Gentiles. So God chose Paul in eternity past. However you figure that out, I don't know, I don't care. I just know he called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And whenever God calls us salvation, he always calls us to service. He didn't save us so we could just sit, amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are created for good works, and God created it before the world ever was. All these good works, don't fail to step out into the good works that God has called you to do. And look what he says, and I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. No, Paul says, I'm changed. And what did he do? He threw out all human counsel. He said, I didn't need any help from any human being, relatives or anybody else. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to who were the apostles before me. I didn't need their help either. Look what he did. But I departed. I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, listen, when Paul left Damascus, the Damascus Road experience, remember he went to Ananias and so forth, and Ananias prayed for him because Paul couldn't see, and the scales fell from his eyes. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was already born again, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he was water baptized. And then after that, the Lord moved him, said it's time to leave. He went into Arabia, into the desert, for 3 years to be instructed by the Lord. He said, remember what he said about the source of the gospel? No man taught it to me. It came by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, with all that being said, as we study this out, loved one, it's important to realize Paul goes to be prepared for ministry now. He's going to go into the desert. His whole world has been turned upside down. Let's put it that way. Now, there are those that say that he went into the Sinai in the Arabian area and so forth, even up to Mount Sinai, where Elijah, you know, or Moses, of course, received the Ten Commandments. There, I don't know. If he did, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. I just know he went into the desert. How's that sound? And so, I could use an Arabian retreat. No. You know, sometimes, do you know what? It's good to get away. Do you know the desert is a dry, lonely, forbidden, unforgiving place. But man, when you get away from it all, no cell phones. You know, your cell phone doesn't work. And you look at it and you go, oh, God, you're so good. There's no signal. You're out there, you know, and there's nothing but like rattlesnakes. I don't know. But you know what? When you go away, you can, like Paul, you can get a revelation from God. You can grow, not something new, but a revelation from God's word. Not some new doctrine. Do you understand? Sometimes we need to get away. Jesus got away, didn't he? Elijah went into the desert. John the Baptist went into the desert. Moses went into the desert. Sometimes we need to get away, loved one. And then in verse 18, he says this. Now, after 3 years, 3 years after the Damascus Road experience, he said, I went up to Jerusalem to visit or to see Peter. Now, that word there in the Greek literally would read to get acquainted with Peter, okay? Not to receive instruction or lay hands on, okay, we accept you and all this kind of stuff. No, he didn't do that. He didn't need any authorization. He was already equal to Peter, amen? Now, and he remained with him 15 days. He says, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Man, listen, I would have given anything to sit with Paul and the Lord's half-brother, wouldn't you? Man, I mean, he was an apostle. And when we get over to Galatians chapter 2, I think it's verse 6, I may be wrong on that, but he's a pillar of the church. He conducted with Peter and the rest of them the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And I mean, that Paul had to say, well, can you tell me about your brother when he was growing up? And you understand what I mean. What a glorious time that would be. Now listen, Paul was there for 15 days. But if you read in Acts chapter 9, I don't know where it starts, maybe verse 23, but it doesn't really matter. If you read Acts chapter 9, you'll you'll remember that when he came into Jerusalem, did the James and Peter and all them, did they want to talk with him? No, they were afraid of him. They didn't trust him at all. What happened? Barnabas came, grabbed him, and said, come on, Paul, I'm going to take you there. I know that you love the Lord. And so that's how it happened. Without his help, he would have never met them. And then in verse 20, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, that means in the presence of the living God, Paul writes, I don't lie. I do not lie. So what did Paul just do? He called God to be his witness. What about that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ, that he did receive the word of God, the good news from heaven. He was taught personally by Jesus Christ, and all those other Judaizers are from hell, okay? They're liars and thieves and so forth. And he says, and afterward I went into the regions of Syria, that's where Damascus is located, by the way, and it's Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea. So that meant that during that time, Paul had no contact with any of the churches outside of Jerusalem, and which were in Christ Jesus, and they were hearing only, or they heard it said through the rumor mill, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith. To preach the faith means to preach the good news of the gospel, which he once tried to destroy. And look what they did. And they glorified God in me. In other words, why? Because there was a supernatural change that happened in Paul. Loved one, now listen. Why? We're not done yet. Why is Christianity different from all the religions of all time in all the world? The first reason, and there are many, but I'm just giving you a few. The source of the gospel. The good news, loved one, came down from heaven. It's God's love letter to us. Amen? Oh, and I think, oh, Lord, you're so good. See, the gospel didn't originate on earth. It didn't originate from man. It came straight from our Lord. All religions, again, except Christianity, are man-made. Jesus is the God-man. Amen? Absolutely. Listen, and have you ever noticed that other religions, no matter what they are, I mean, you could be a tree hugger, you know, or bite the bark, I don't care, you know, or sit out and just hum for 5 hours. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, you're searching. Everyone is searching for something. Why? Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that God has placed eternity in the heart of every person. That's why we search. We know there's more, but we don't know what it is. If you read Romans chapter 1, man, look at that. When they quit worshiping God, what did they worship? They started worshiping bugs. Can you imagine worshiping a little cockroach? You know what I do with them? I killed one yesterday. They're huge. And they have, I mean, do you know how fast they are? I chased it, and Becky said, "You get that thing." Because it was coming up the wall. It was about that long. And I said, what is this, a Baptist? What is that thing? No, I'm joking. You know, I'm teasing. You know that. I love the Baptist. I don't know where that comes from. No, and so I'm getting ready. I take that fly swatter, man, and I'm going, okay, buddy. And then I go, but if I hit him, it's going to splatter on my wall. So I said, maybe I can get my fly swatter and flip him up in the air and smack him. So I flipped him up in the air, and he ran under the couch. I had to move the couch. I mean, he ran all over that house, finally. And they still move after that. But can you imagine doing that? And then you know how the digression goes in Romans 1. It goes from animals and birds and whatever. And finally, you start worshiping the creature instead of the creator. See, man has to worship something. They're searching for something. They're always searching. That day on the beach all those years ago, 40-some-odd years ago, gosh, it's been so, seems like it was just yesterday. There I was, and what was I doing? I was searching. And you know what? God knew I was searching. That's why that guy said, "Hey, you look like you're looking for the truth." I said, I just looked at him. That got me, because that's what I was looking for. He said, "You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free." That's my life scripture. See, I'm searching. I was searching then. I'm not searching anymore. I know who is God. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Holy Spirit is in me. Does that make sense? Oh, loved one, listen. No, all the religions of the earth except Christianity, they're man-made. They're all searching. And you know what they do when they, well, maybe this will work. How do they approach the false God or the false religion? I'm going to work. I'm going to do what they said. I've got eight rules, eight pillars. Oh, I've got five this, five that, you know, or got a 12-step or whatever it might be. No, works. Trying to earn it, trying to be good enough. But see, Christianity is totally different than every religion that has ever been. Why? Because we were not searching for God. Oh, we were searching, but not for God. But He was searching for you. He was searching for me. Amen? Oh, see, I couldn't go up to heaven. He had to send someone down from heaven, His own Son. What does it say in Luke 19:10? It says, "For Christ has come to do what? To seek and to save those who are lost." Man, listen, that day on the beach, He was seeking me, but it happened. You know, loved one, listen, Galatians 4:4, let me read it to you. "But the fullness of time, when it had come, that perfect moment, here it comes, God did something. We couldn't go to God. God said, I've got to get down here to you. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Man, and because you are sons, meaning sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out in that Aramaic word, Abba, Father, Daddy, and so forth. This is in John 3:17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved." Why is Christianity, the gospel of grace, why is it different than all other religions in the world? Because all the other religions, every one of them, they teach basically the same thing, that you must earn your way to heaven or work hard or knock doors, do this, do that, to be saved. No, Christianity, now listen to me, Christianity is not a religion, but I'm saying it's a religion. Christianity is the only religion in all time that teaches that a man can do absolutely nothing to be saved. except believe. You can't earn it. Salvation, eternal life, is a gift of the living God. Amen? We're the only Christianity and no one else. It says in Ephesians 2, 8, it says, for by grace, not law, not works, the unmerited favor of God, you've been saved. You've been saved. That's past tense. Not going to be saved. We are saved. And now God is working in our lives. And it says, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, a gift cannot be earned. Remember? It's a gift of God, not of works. No, that work was completed on the cross. Lest anyone should boast. You see, grace eliminates all boasting. I didn't earn it. I'm like a thief on the cross. There I was. I'm guilty. Yes, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm nailed to the cross. I've never been water baptized. I've been a crook all my life. I can't even bow down to you, Lord. But would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus, beaten halfway to death, looked at him and said, today you'll be in paradise with me forever. Why? That person believed. That's all it took. See, that's all that it takes. Religion always, always says, okay, I have to do something. You know, religion, you know, I've got to do this. Listen, Christianity says done. It's done. John 19:30, Jesus cried from the cross. What did he say? It's finished. It's completely over with. Listen, Christianity is not about you. The gospel is not about you. The gospel is about what God has done for you. Do you see the freedom that we have in Christ? How we, you know, we don't have to, we're not guilty. He's taken our guilt. He's taken our shame. He's taken all of our sin. Oh, listen, Christianity is not a religion, but I'll tell you what it is. It is a relationship. Amen? Without Christ, there is no Christianity. He's the key to it all. Now listen, no other religion on this planet that has ever been can say, we have an empty tomb. No, they can't say it. They can't say that at all. No other religion in the whole world at any time can claim that their leader died but is now alive. But we can. Does that make sense? Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. See, listen to me. Buddha, you know, if you've ever studied that out, you know, it's the fourth largest religion in the world. And you have these eight steps or eight rules, I forget, eight pillars. I don't even care anymore. I don't know what it, no offense, but I don't care. I don't need to study any other gospel. Do you understand me? I only have the one I have. But Buddha did not rise from the dead. I tell you what, Muhammad, you know, the founder of Islam, he's dead. Do you understand? He's dead. That's the second largest religion in all of the world. Confucius, the God-man, Jesus didn't appear to him and confuse him, did he? No, he's dead. He is gone. Joseph Smith, he's dead. Do you understand me? Charles Taz Russell, he is dead. Krishna is dead. Elvis has left the building. Do you understand? But listen to me now. But they're not dead. They're alive someplace. Do you understand me? They've departed someplace. No religion that has ever existed but ours and the Old Covenant people can ever claim to have a book that came from heaven to earth, written by the breath of the living God. Amen? Only the church, no religion on this earth that has ever existed can ever say, I followed my founder and my founder lives in me. No, that's a lie. Only Christianity can make that claim. Amen? Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, in union with him, in union with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says new creation. That means something that has never existed before. A brand new created, the new birth. I'm not the same. The veil's been taken away. He said, oh, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, study. No, don't study him out. Oh, if you do, I don't care. But I do care. It's not going to help you. No religion on earth accept Christianity empowers their followers to follow the Lord, to witness for the Lord. Supernatural power. Only God's people. Acts 1:8. Remember what Jesus said, his last words, but ye shall receive what? Power, dunamis, the divine power of God. When the Holy Spirit comes, epi in the Greek, upon you, not in you, you're already born again. When he comes upon you, you're going to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of this world. Listen, I am jealous over the gospel of grace. I'll never forget many years ago, and it was a long time ago, when we were still in the old building in Fort Worth. And I used to drink a Starbucks coffee, which I do not drink anymore because it's too expensive. But I was there, and Thomas was just a little kid, and Becky and I were young and pretty. And these people from a ungodly, demonic religion were sitting with a guy at a table telling him all about this false gospel. And I walked by them, and I heard it, and you know, we were going to the car, and I said, just a minute, and Becky says, honey. I said, go to the car. I walked over there, and I said to that man, I said, sir, if you listened to these two men, they're going to make you twice the son of hell that they are. Those guys looked at me, and I said, you're a liar. I didn't challenge them. I didn't say it mean. I said, you're a liar. Your gospel is from a liar. And I said, you're going to send that man to hell. I said, Jesus Christ, sir, is your only answer. No one else. We need to be jealous over the gospel of grace. The Bible tells us in Jude 3, beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. However, something changed, he says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, meaning the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, contend for the faith whose once and for all delivered are entrusted to the saints, that's us, the set apart ones, for certain men have crept in, meaning crept in secretly, unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. They're ungodly men. In other words, they have no room for God in their lives. And here it comes. Who turn, that word means pervert, to change, distort, who turn the grace of our Lord into lewdness, vileness, and deny the only Lord God and Jesus Christ. Do you know that you're a steward of the gospel of grace? That we have been entrusted, loved one, with the greatest message ever given to man. I mean, listen, no wonder we're saved by grace. We're encouraged, like Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Peter closed out his last epistle. He said, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we go in prayer to the throne, where do we go? The throne of grace. You've been entrusted with it. You're a steward of it. I hope that you know what the gospel of grace truly is. It says in 2 John 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, meaning not works, not legalism, the grace. You can be saved by grace, God's unmerited favor. Think about that. He loves us so much. He says, I'm going to cover every sin. I died for you. I took your place. That's what Jesus did. He says, oh, listen, if anyone doesn't bring this doctrine, meaning the gospel of grace, do not receive him into your house or greet him. That means don't even give that person a hello. For he who greets him, welcomes that person into the home, shares in his evil deeds. You know what I like about John, the apostle of love? Is that he just was just like Paul. He didn't have the doctrine of tolerance, did he? He didn't practice that. No, not at all. Now, that doesn't mean that we be rude when people knock on the door. I had one knock the other day, but I don't let them in. I don't take their material into my home because it's from hell. Do you understand? No, they're enemies of God. Listen to me. They're enemies of God. They are bringing a false, man-made, devil-inspired gospel into your home. Don't let that happen. They're enemies of God. And what does chapter 1 of Galatians teach us, verse 8, 9, right in there? If anyone preaches any other gospel than the gospel of Christ, the good news, the grace of God, let him be what? Accursed, anathema. Let him be doomed to destruction. May he be damned to eternal hell forever. Listen, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the, again, that is a severe, one of the most severe curses in the Bible. Why? God says, don't you touch the grace. Don't you touch it because of, you touch my son when you do that. Amen? Oh, I look and I say, oh, God, you're so good. The source of our gospel is heaven. And you know what it teaches? It teaches by simply believing in your heart, not by works, not by legalism. If you just simply believe, the gospel of grace says, I will save you. You believe in Christ, that's enough. Not, you don't have to have anything more. Loved one, matter of fact, I'm just going to read. Let me just read this to you. That's what I want to do. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. Listen to me carefully. Maybe you're listening online right now. You don't know Christ. Listen to me. It says, what does it say? The word is near you. Isn't that amazing? It's in your mouth. I love that. Get the word. And in your heart, that is what? The word of faith which we preach, here it comes. That if you don't know Christ Jesus, listen, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning Jesus be my Lord, save me, be the manager of my total life. I want to be yours. I want to follow you. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, here it is, you will be saved. You will be saved. You will be rescued. You will become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you for the word, your truth. Lord, as our heads are bowed, I know that the Holy Spirit of God is so present right now. If you're sitting there, you don't know the Lord. You've never asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life. I'm asking you right now as everybody's praying and everyone's head is bowed. It's a holy time. It's a holy moment. If that's you in this, I know it's the service, but if maybe you just stumbled in or maybe you've never done that. If that is you and you never asked Christ Jesus to be your Lord, would you just simply lift your hand and say, Bill, that's what I want. I want Jesus to be the absolute Lord of my life. If you've never prayed it, quickly lift your hand up, put it right back down. I just wanted to make sure before I go to the second service, last call, is there anyone here? Well, if there's anyone listening live, you do that right now. You ask Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Confess him right now. Jesus, be my Lord. Just tell him. I believe you raised him from the dead. You said you would save me. Save me now. Lord God, thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name for this day that you've given unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,